Paul Banks is brought to you by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. By Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all. And by York Install Confidence, the two-time Super Bowl champion, our good buddy number 58, Carl Banks. Hi, Carl. How are you?
Hey, good morning, man.
Carl?
By the way, Carl, let me just say this, too, because I think I forgot to say that we are live from the Black Bear studio here. Of course, great Black Bear deli meats and cheeses only at ShopRite.
Carl, have you figured out the giant playoff scenario?
Well, we're not having that conversation.
We're not, okay.
They can't win the division now, so you know that.
We're not having that conversation. Let them win some and see what falls in place. Obviously, they just have to win and just continue to feel good about winning. You know, when you have these crazy scenarios at the end of the season, where the what-ifs start to happen in the last week, maybe fans can get crazy then, but they've got to do their part.
As a public service announcement, for those who are interested, after we're done talking to Carl, I will very quickly
lay it out
has to happen for the Giants to make the playoffs.
Please do.
I know you're very interested, Joe, yourself.
Don't go there, Evan. Please, spare the fan base. My Twitter timeline could not sustain it.
But they're interested. Giant fans want to dream.
Tell them just to wait. They got enough to complain about and – you know, just let them wait because any scenario that you could put out there greatly exceeds their expectations. Or maybe it doesn't because they were a win-now team, according to most.
Well, they were a win-now team. Okay, come on, man.
All right, I just started something.
You really did.
I'll tell you one thing. It's becoming pretty obvious that Eli will be back as the quarterback next year. I don't think there's any question about that, Carl.
Well, listen, he's played – to a level to where he warrants that. I mean, there's some that are never going to ever be in that camp because they want to see some change. But like you guys said before the break, explore what your options are. What are your alternatives? And then you'll see if he's the best of the worst, which he's far from the worst in this league. But you have to take a look holistically at what's available. How does it fit your team? And who gives you the best chance to keep things going? The one thing that I'm most pleased with this team is that they've, you know, across the board, they've been criticized, and probably none more than the quarterback of this team. He never once went in the tank because I believe he felt the support of his teammates. And he gave his teammates everything he has every Sunday, despite being on his butt quite a bit early in the season, where a lot of quarterbacks with confidence would be shot. You know, but here's a guy, and this is the character of a quarterback that you want. When you look for the next guy, you don't want an emotional midget. You want a guy who will stand tall in adversity. Now, everybody's not going to be Eli, but whoever your next guy is, and especially in this market, he better be able to not only withstand the critiques on the outside, but he's got to show confidence on the inside because a lot of these guys will say they don't read the paper, and Eli probably doesn't, but his teammates do. You know, I'm sure somebody in his family does. And the character of this quarterback has been – kind of the unspoken leadership in what they're doing now, because there hasn't been a coach that coached him that he didn't buy into what they wanted him to do. Even if the system doesn't necessarily fit, he gives you the best preparation and the best execution within his skill set. And that's all any offensive coordinator or head coach could ask for, because he doesn't lack skill. And then you start to build around that. But he's been a guy that, you know, like I said, he's put up whatever the numbers are in good and in bad times. And then you look at that and you say, okay, what are our alternatives?
Sure.
What are our alternatives?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't want an unstable guy at that position in this market. And, you know, everybody got a chance to see Kyle Luletta. But he was exactly what I thought he would be, a rookie. You know, he's now the game. You know, it's easy for the fans to sit there and want to see him they really haven't seen anything. They just learned a little bit about him, and he learned a little bit about the game of professional football because it's a lot faster than it is in practice. The decision-making, the game management, the play management, all of those things came into play in the series that he was on the field. And you could see there's work to be done. That's not to kill this kid. That's what rookies have to go through. So anybody that expected him to come in and just light it up grossly underestimates what it takes to play quarterback in the NFL, even with talent.
No one, I don't think, expected him to come in and light it up. But I think the argument, which isn't there right now because the Giants are alive, but I think any argument for seeing the backup is always just to give him that experience, not that he's going to be better than what you have.
Sure, and I think he'll be better the next time he gets in the game because a lot of this, you know, just things, managing third downs, throwing balls away, taking sacks versus interceptions.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those are decisions you have to make on the fly, and he'll be smarter. Once he looks at it on tape, he's probably going to say, well, maybe I shouldn't have thrown that when there were two guys around him, but he's trying to get the ball out of his hands and not to take a sack. Well, in certain situations, and he will learn this at the NFL level, given where the field position was, you're probably better to take a sack than to take the risk.
Hey, speaking of field position, because this was the game turned into a blowout pretty quickly, but that didn't happen until the middle part of the second quarter. The first four or five possessions of this game, it felt like we were going to watch a 6-3 game. I thought where things changed was on special teams. When the Giants, I think it was Hamilton, downed it inside the 2-yard line, they set up the Redskins at their own one, at their own two, and that's when Curtis Riley off that tip picked it off and danced in for a touchdown. It felt like that changed the game. Putting Mark Sanchez in that bad offense with that beat-up offensive line at their own 1-yard line, that seemed to be the moment that really changed everything. So I thought special teams kind of impacted the game early.
It did. And the reason, you know, we've talked about all the failures during the first half of the season where they just don't complement each other. Now they're starting to play complementary football. And you talk about team effort, this is what it is now, where one side of the ball is picking up the other side, and the coach calls them a gritty group, but they grind. They are grinding now for each other, and I think that's been the difference. Like, obviously shoring up the offensive line makes things look a lot better offensively, but when they're struggling a little bit to try to get it going and get things figured out, you got a special teams, you got a good kicker, you got a good punter, and your special teams coverage guys are doing their jobs. And then defensively, you know, they seem to be on a string now as opposed to a bunch of moving parts and nobody knows what the other's doing. They are playing extremely coordinated, good coordinated defense. Every player, you can see the communication. So they're helping each other out.
And the defense has really got, and you mentioned it, because you were all over the defense, especially after the Tampa game, even when they won that game. You know, Winston came in and lit him up after, you know, he came in to relieve Fitzpatrick in that game. But we've seen major improvement from the defense, certainly in the last 2 weeks, Carl. I mean, there's no question about it.
Well, it has been, and they've progressively gotten better. And, again, I take my hat off to James Betcher and his coaching staff and the players. Together is how they got this done, because I think they look at their mistakes and they talk about it and their intentions are good, but until they execute it, it's a different story. And I'll tell you, the guy who has made a major, major step in just settling down and playing within his ability is Alec Ogletree. Alec Ogletree is now, you see why he's on this roster. I mean, the guy, when he knows what he's supposed to do and not try to do everybody else's job, he's around the football. You know, in coverage, he's running down the field with a wide receiver, breaks up a pass. Because he knew where he was supposed to be. He didn't try to do or not worry about everybody else doing their jobs, so they got everybody in place. But here's a word of caution that I'm sure the Titans will be looking to exploit. They have had trouble, and they haven't seen one in a while, with a mobile quarterback. And then Josh Johnson comes in the game yesterday.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. What did he do? He hit some plays on him because he was moving around. That changes the dynamic of the teams that are more in the box type of offenses. This is an out of the box type of offense. The thing with Mariota, He's not an accurate quarterback, but he can make plays on the move. So they've got to now go back and look at all the plays that hurt them from mobile quarterbacks, because that's what they're going to see. Nobody's going to allow this defense, after seeing them the last couple of weeks, they're not going to allow them to be comfortable, straight ahead defensive players. Now they're going to move them. They're going to try to create some of these natural seams that have hurt them in the past. And you saw Josh Johnson do a little bit of that at the end of the game. So that's where they've now, this is the next step for them, because they're now going up in competition. This is a team that is a playoff caliber team, and they're trying to win as much as possible. Their defense is pretty good as well. Very good, in fact. So now this is the next step for them. They cannot get comfortable, because this is a team that will start to make them look bad again.
Mm. We're talking to Carl Banks about the Giants. They beat the Washington Redskins. They've played much better coming out of the bye. You know, Saquon Barkley came into the draft with almost an unfair amount of hype. You know, it's very difficult for an athlete to live up to that much hype, and I got to give him credit. He's been able to do it. What's impressed you the most about Saquon Barkley?
Well, just his balance as a person and football player, because the hype around him was never him hyping himself. It was his performance speaking volumes to what type of football player he was. And then the person, the professional that he is kind of beyond his years. And we did a segment with him on First and 10 this past week, and he talked about how he prepares for a game. And he talks about how Eli has stopped by his film sessions, talked to him a little bit about how he should prepare. He talked about Jonathan Stewart helping him understand the game more so that his abilities can really shine. And I think that's invaluable for a rookie to be able to, number one, have the interest, intellectual curiosity, if you will, to want to get better with that skill set, and two, to have guys around him to really help him with that process. And the rest is up to him, his God-given ability. And I think Dave Gettleman said it best. He said he's touched by the hand of God, because he's got great collision balance, acceleration. He just, you know, he leaves you speechless every time he breaks one of these big runs.
No, no question about that. You know, it's interesting, though, as we're talking to Carl Banks, as you look ahead, you mentioned Tennessee, but really the last three games are all going to be against teams that are looking to make the playoffs. You got Tennessee, you got the Colts, who all of a sudden they've won 6 out of 7.
Sure.
And then you got Dallas. Look at the difference in the Cowboys since Amari Cooper, though. Look at the difference Cooper, he's made to that team.
Cooper has now become the downfield Jason Witten for Dak Prescott and for the Cowboy, Jason Garrett, because he's a guy that's a hard cover. He's great in tight spaces. He can create his own space, wonderful footwork. The quarterback can always count on him if he can get the ball in the vicinity of the player. He gives them balance. So, yeah, I mean, there are three teams here, but the most immediate right now?
Tennessee. Yeah.
Tennessee. Because, and you can mark it down, they're going to move Mariota around. They're going to try to find these natural holes in the Giants' defense. Now, the Giants played well without Landon Collins. That's one thing that you have to give this defensive group and the coordinator and coaches credit for. You didn't know Landon Collins wasn't on the field. You knew he wasn't on the field, but they didn't exploit him not being on the field. But these are in-the-box offenses that they just played. The next offense will be out of the box. They're going to move. They're going to stretch your defense. They're going to try to create these natural holes. So this is where the new level of preparation for the Giants is, a new old level, if you will, because that's where they've been hurt a lot. Even going back to the preseason, they got to really scout that stuff.
This Redskin team was 6-3. I know they have had a ridiculous amount of injuries at the quarterback position, on the offensive line. But when you watched them yesterday, is it more than just the injuries and what has caused this team to be such a mess at this point?
I was talking to Brian Mitchell at halftime, and, you know, he's very close to the team. And he said to me, he says, he gets the offense. He says, but the defense is pretty healthy. And he said it looks to him, and I agree. He asked me if I agreed that team looked like they quit on the coach. And it did. It looked like they just quit on the coach because they are a very good defense. That's where they're most healthy. But I just think just the morale of the team, you could just see it. You know, it wasn't like they weren't playing hard defensively, but it just didn't seem the same spirit as you've seen earlier in the year. So I can't put my finger on it, but obviously just the effort that's there, it just doesn't seem the same energy behind it. And maybe the league is caught up with how to play them, you know. The Giants sure seem to, once they got it going, they sure seem to know how to block them and keep them blocked.
Well, just make sure, you know, you want to just hold those plans you're going to make for the week after the regular season ends.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we let Evan take about 30 minutes to make everybody crazy?
No, it'll take about seven minutes.
Carl, I promise
Evan,
you.
Let's give Evan four to 7 minutes,
Carl,
to lay out the scenarios.
I'll lay it out.
And in every step of the way, I want you to insert the word "if the Giants." This will give the Giants.
I mean, you'd be on your way.
Do that.
Carl,
do that for about 4 minutes and watch and see what happens.
You'll be in Chicago and they're playing the Bears in a playoff game.
And I'll be rooting. Or I'll be rooting, maybe.
My timeline will be berserk.
Carl, I can get you the scenario in 90 seconds.
No, I want you to spend about 4 minutes.
You want me to really drag it out?
Drag it out so that you can make everybody crazy with it.
Do you want to be here while I do it?
I have no interest.
Carl's got better things to do than this.
All right, Carl. Good talking to you as always.
Thank you, guys.
See you, Carl.